Greetings. I'm Joel of Harp City Church, and welcome again to Happy and Whole in Him. I began this devotional series last July with a goal of helping us to better understand the heart of Jesus. I wanted us to drink deeply of the fountain of life, especially as our nation was being rocked. I knew many like myself felt exhausted and frustrated with the tumultuous times, and were feeling acutely a plague of negativity sweeps through our society at the same time as COVID. It was actually at that time a promise of Jesus had become something of a lodestone for me. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are burdened. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life and find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you'll discover I am gentle and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light and kind." Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, "Come and discover my heart." And what would you expect to find? Is his heart harsh and demanding? Proud and exalted? Dignified and austere? No. The heart of God's Son is gentle and lowly, humble and meek. Jesus says to you, my friend, "I have the most understanding and accessible heart in the universe." And if you're a Christian, you have discovered Jesus' gentle heart. It was his heart that led him to walk the path to Calvary. He was wrongly slandered, betrayed by a close friend, and he paid the ultimate price, allowing his body to be nailed to lumber for all to see, accused of crimes he did not commit, our crimes. And as he was crushed for us, he uttered not a word in his defense. Jesus chose not to be right in order to show us we are greatly loved. And he won us over. We bowed the knee to his lordship. We gave him our hearts because he had gentled our hearts by his gentleness. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:23, "When Christ was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." When folks came at Jesus with harsh and cutting words, Jesus did not respond in kind. When he was called to face excruciating pain, he had really thick skin. And that last part is key. Jesus showed restraint, entrusting himself to his heavenly Father, who would have the final word. Jesus knew that every mouth would be stopped on the final day, and all would have to answer for every foolish word and deed. That is why he came. We're living in a day where the ideological divide has never been greater. And anyone who doesn't champion another's belief is an enemy. Politicians, co-workers, and even family are subjected to harsh criticism, or even just straight-out wrath. Everyone is concerned to make sure others know the truth, which is never a wrong thing by itself. But let me ask you, doesn't the character of our communication matter as much as the content? Aren't Christians supposed to speak the truth in love? Ephesians 4:15. Dr. John Perkins, a man who knows something about unjust suffering, said something quite startling. He said, "This generation is the first to turn hate into an asset." I look around and I don't think that Perkins is wrong. Hate has been commodified. It is so prevalent in the public forums. So many not only use hate, but they also approve of those who practice the same. And this hate not only injures those it targets, but it turns in on the hate dispensers. So what can we do? How can we begin to cool the temperature in this incubator of hate we live in? Well, I want us to spend some time looking at the heart of Jesus, allowing him to gentle our hearts in the coming weeks, so that when we are offended, we will not retaliate in kind, so that when we do engage, we will do it in a winsome and gentle way, and so that we won't feel the need to get in the last word, because that is not our job. You see, the gospel is not about being right. It's about knowing we are greatly loved. And when our families and neighbors see that, they may be more willing to give us a hearing and perhaps we can win them to our gentle Savior. Scott Sauls says well, "It is because we have been treated with such kindness, such grace, such gentleness, that we ought to be the most difficult people in the world to offend. It is Christ's unmerited love for us that serves as a basis for not only becoming the best kinds of friends, but also the best kinds of enemies the world will ever know. Christian, remember who you are and who you belong to."